Hey, has anyone checked on Elon recently?
Elon Musk.
The guy who essentially bought Donald Trump an election?
It's impossible not to. The guy is everywhere. Here he is in the Oval Office, in every interview next to his buddy. And now, he's in Europe?
Elon Musk has had private discussions about how the British Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, could be removed from power without an election.
Giorgia Meloni is someone that I admire, that has done an incredible job as the Prime Minister of Italy.
Fight for a great future for Germany. Fight for a great future for Germany. Go, go, go.
If it was weird before that a South African billionaire was running the U.S. government and stripping it for parts, it's only gotten weirder that somehow this doesn't feel like enough power for him. Just why is he here? These past few months, we've heard about Europe a lot, and for good reason. You might have seen this already, but back in February, a group of all the major far-right parties in the EU got together in Madrid for the Patriots for Europe summit. Its banner? Make Europe Great Again. Since the Trump victory and after their massive gains in last year's elections, the far-right in Europe is emboldened like never before. Or almost never before. We know this already, and we've seen this coming for a while. The European far-right is doubling down on anti-immigrant politics. They're more explicitly anti-trans and anti-LGBTQ than before, and they're now firmly, unequivocally, doing climate change denialism. They've fully adopted the American political strategy. Unlike before, they're not really watering down their politics or trying to be vague about things they used to avoid talking about. After all, most news outlets and the majority of the political spectrum in countries like France, Germany, the UK, are now completely okay platforming fascist talking points just to seem reasonable and pragmatic. And instead of bringing voters back to establishment parties, centrists jumping on the bandwagon of anti-immigrant politics opened the door for the far right to start saying the quiet parts out loud and harden their stance. But something else has changed too. Nowadays, rather than just comparing themselves to and supporting Trump, like with this summit, European patriots are also directly inviting Republicans into European politics. After years of telling people that American foreign influence was to blame for all of Europe's problems, that wokeness was being parachuted in from American colleges or whatever, the far right is sending out a very clear message. Just come on and intervene in our politics.
And we look across the Atlantic with envy. We see President Trump in the Oval Office signing off executive orders, and we want some of that in Britain. We want a Trump revolution in Britain. We want Elon and his nerd army of muskrats examining the British deep state.
If this seems surprising, it really shouldn't be. Much of the European right can see that the conditions for fascism are ripe, and that the levies won't hold if there's a big enough push. That means more and more people on the European right are hoping that someone like Musk can be the final straw. But we've jumped to the conclusion here. Let's back up and focus on Elon specifically. What is Elon doing giving keynote speeches for a neo-Nazi political party in a country he's not even from and doesn't live in? Before we get to the rest of the video, I just want to take a second to thank my one channel sponsor, Aura. We've been working with Aura over at First Thought for a while now, and it's been hands down the best sponsor experience I've ever had. Let me tell you about the service first, and then I'll give you my personal reason for working with these guys. You might remember that last year there was a massive data breach where hackers stole the social security numbers of just about every American. And not just social security numbers. Over 2.9 billion records were stolen from national public data. These stolen records include a person's full name, address, date of birth, phone number, and alternate names. Literally everything someone needs to steal your identity, or worse. If you've never been the victim of a data breach before, let me tell you, it's not fun. That stuff is scary, as well as being really intrusive. If you weren't taking precautions with your personal information online before, this should be a huge wake-up call. You've never been more vulnerable online than you are right now. I take this stuff seriously. I've got a 2-year-old daughter, and there are some freaks out there. Thankfully, I don't have to worry about it, because Aura protects me from this exact scenario. Aura alerts me if they find my phone number, email, or social security number on the dark web. They let me know immediately if anyone tries to use this information to access my credit or bank accounts. And for added peace of mind, they provide up to $5 million in identity theft insurance should the worst-case scenario happen. They also have a bunch of other features to keep you and your kids safe online, all inside one app, so you don't need to go looking for a bunch of different services for your VPN, your antivirus, and your data security. You can use my link aura.com/secondthought to try 14 days for free. That's plenty of time for Aura to find out if any of your personal data has been exposed. I highly recommend you do this right now, because not only is National Public Data not going to do anything to help you, they probably aren't even going to face any repercussions for this leak. I'm not leaving myself and my family vulnerable to data breaches, and if you don't want to either, you can go to aura.com/secondthought to try Aura for 2 weeks absolutely free. And because I promised to give you my personal reason for working with Aura, besides it being a genuinely useful service that I use in my day-to-day life, when one of our First Thought videos got brigaded and we had to take the ad read down for optics reasons, the brand generously compensated us and doubled down on working with First Thought. They could have bailed, but they didn't. That's a cool company. So if you want to help support the channel and get some quality peace of mind while you're at it, give Aura a shot at the link below. All right, back to the video.
So how did this all start? Is this brand new with what we're seeing with the AFD, or did it start with the anti-immigrant riots in the UK last summer? Like maybe Elon's relationship with Giorgia Meloni?
No, it's been going on for a while now. You know, a couple of years ago, Elon Musk was tweeting in support of AFD because AFD was opposing, you know, these campaigns to help migrants who were coming across the Mediterranean and landing in Italy and other kind of Southern European countries. He has been, you know, developing relationships with the government in Hungary of Viktor Orban, which is, you know, a right-wing illiberal government that's closer to Russia, for example. He has this really good relationship with Giorgia Meloni, who is the prime minister of Italy now. You know, and she comes from a party that has its roots in, like, you know, Mussolini's fascist party and things like that, right? And, you know, in general, he has been increasingly speaking out in favor of far-right movements across the European Union, whether it is in Ireland, whether it's in Germany. I have little doubt that we'll see a bit more of that in France as France gets closer to an election as well. In the UK, you know, he has been increasingly active, particularly since Keir Starmer and the Labour Party returned to power last year, where he has been, you know, kind of really explicitly calling out that government and Keir Starmer directly. And how would I say it? Like, you know, basically amping up conspiracy theories that the far right in the UK have, you know, attached themselves to for a long time to make the case that on the one hand, you know, this government is doing things that are like woke and bad for the country and, you know, letting these immigrants like destroy the UK.
So why is Elon in Europe? Like, what is he saying is the reason?
Yeah, obviously we don't know what is going on inside Elon Musk's head, and I think it would be a scary place to be if we did, you know, enter in there, right? It seems like a very confused area, but I think it plays into his broader political goals, right? You know, some of his companies do operate over there. He has a Tesla plant in Berlin or outside of Berlin specifically. But, you know, I think that this fits into some of the talk that he has been, you know, making about the great replacement theory and Western civilization and, you know, these more like cultural concerns that he seems to have. So he does very much seem to embrace this kind of like, you know, racist narrative that white culture and, you know, white people are under threat from these hordes of immigrants who are entering these countries. And then, of course, on top of that, you know, he does the same way as in the United States, where he benefits economically, you know, his power and his wealth benefits from having this, you know, right-wing party in power that is not going to challenge his companies, that is not going to hold them to account. There is something similar playing out in Europe too, right? Where he knows that if these right-wing parties are in power, like we're seeing in Italy, for example, that, you know, it's going to have beneficial outcomes for the companies that he runs.
Following what's happened over here, it might seem like Elon is just taking a page from the playbook he's perfected in the US. If you'll remember from our last video, Musk took the long history of cyber-libertarian and eugenicist politics of Silicon Valley and let them run wild as soon as the Biden admin started pulling back from the tech industry. And he wasn't the only one. All of Silicon Valley stood behind Trump at the inauguration with the same mission of leveraging state power to protect their profits and push the cutthroat, anti-democratic politics that they believe in. But Europe isn't the US. What you need to know about the EU is that what pissed off Elon in the US just doesn't exist in Europe. Or at least, it hasn't for a long time. This all started with Bush back in 2001. Wait, nope, not like that. It's something else this time. For around 20 years now, the US has completely destroyed the EU's antitrust process. Back in 2001, the already massive company GE tried to merge with and absorb another huge manufacturer, Honeywell. The merger would have made GE an undisputed global monopoly in things like aviation parts manufacturing, and that would have meant things like more expensive plane tickets for everyone. On the face of it, this merger had nothing to do with Europe. GE and Honeywell, these are two American companies doing what American companies do, monopolizing. But the EU had a rule. Because these companies were making billions of dollars of revenue in Europe, even though the companies were based in the US, the merger had to be approved by the EU to protect European customers. And in 2001, this merger was blocked. See, back then, the European Union used to have this kind of power to protect its citizens from gross corporate extortion, and it meant that both Europeans and Americans had a small extra safety mechanism on their side. Unfortunately, the EU using this power actually made the American political establishment pretty upset. The idea that the EU could stand in the way of American capitalism was a pretty big middle finger to the post-war US-led global order. So for the next 20 years, the US went about destroying the EU's antitrust program and remodeling it after its own, which, at the time, was incredibly lax and based on the neoliberal Chicago School of Economics. And they did it. The US was successful. By 2004, the EU completely remodeled how it handled corporate mergers based on the Chicago model and essentially dropped the kinds of policies that prevented the GE-Honeywell deal from going through. What did this mean? Under the new rules, there are now far fewer mergers that ever get investigated, and about half as many mergers are prevented. If you're looking for something to explain inflation and the fact that everything comes from one or two companies now, this sort of stuff in world politics is a big reason why. But back to our topic. This shift that happened in 2004, it turns out, has been incredible for American companies and one sector in particular: social media and tech. Google, for example, has pretty much a complete monopoly over the online ad business. And to get there, it's slowly but surely vertically integrated every step of the process through mergers and acquisitions. Like in 2008, for example, when Google bought DoubleClick. This merger probably would have been blocked back in 2001. But under the new system, American companies can pretty much do whatever they want with very little regulatory oversight back home or abroad in one of their biggest markets. Until recently. Today, there's one area where the EU still has a little muscle, and that's how social media platforms treat their users. While the EU can't really prevent X from becoming the Everything app, it can do something when the Everything app steals your data and blasts Nazi propaganda right through your frontal lobe.
You know, as many people will know, Europe has been moving forward with more strict tech regulations for the past number of years. You know, it has kind of been leading the charge globally for regulations on social media companies and other kind of digital tech companies. You know, that is something that has annoyed Elon Musk and a lot of these right-wing people because, as they see it, you know, free speech, which to them means, you know, the far right and bigots being able to say what they want and the people they disagree with being silenced. You know, that free speech, that the speech of conservatives and the extreme right is, you know, they claim, you know, being caught up in some of these things, and they want those regulations to go away so that, you know, on the one hand, tech companies can be unleashed to do whatever they want and are not going to have to deal with onerous regulation or accountability or investigations. But also, you know, that these platforms will be able to more easily be dominated by right-wing discourse in, you know, as if they're not already.
Right now, for example, the EU is pushing forward with an investigation into X that it started over a year ago. And the reason this is a big deal is that within this area of the law, the EU can actually do kind of a lot to X. It can impose fines as high as 10% of global revenues, seize equipment, demand to see X's algorithm, and even search the company's corporate offices. And this is relatively new, and for tech bros, incredibly scary.
I think it's fair to say that for a long time, they, you know, were probably a bit hesitant to really go after Elon Musk, his companies, you know, a platform like Twitter. But, you know, as Elon Musk has been embracing this political project, you know, their concerns about that have really diminished, especially as, you know, he's targeting more and more governments around the European bloc, you know, and wants to see this large scale change in government, and to the degree of like explicitly interfering in elections, like what is happening in Germany right now, where they are having an election, and not just Elon Musk, but now JD Vance has explicitly intervened in order to endorse the Alternative for Deutschland neo-Nazi party. You know, and German lawmakers and European lawmakers more generally are really not okay with that.
Interestingly, X isn't the EU's only target. Last year, Google also got hit with an EU case and the threat of being broken up, as did Meta and Apple. The EU is actively looking after Europeans in this one way by limiting what American monopolies can do. And this is becoming especially relevant as they're all racing towards dominating the AI space, breaking as many laws as they can along the way, and just hoping that the government will be too weak or too slow to stop them from burning our planet to the ground. They know they'll have an easy time in the US, especially now that Trump has brought them under his wing. But if the EU can do for them what it did for GE, their plan for global domination isn't as safe as it used to be. And that means getting in with the fascists.
And so what we're seeing there is that Europe wants to regulate these platforms. Europe wants to make sure that these platforms, you know, abide by the rules that it has and the expectations that it has. But at the same time, these companies and their CEOs are very empowered, not just because they are very wealthy and control some of the largest companies in the world, but also because of this new alliance that they have directly with the American government and their expectation to use that power to push back against any countries that try to bring forward regulations that are going to stifle the types of things that they want to do. And we saw that very clearly when JD Vance went to Europe recently and spoke in Paris and in Munich, where he basically said to the Europeans that the United States will not be okay with Europe bringing forward strict regulations on AI and other tech companies, and they will push back against that very vigorously. He also, you know, quite explicitly spoke out in support of far-right parties in Europe.
But why far-right parties? The whole European mainstream is pro-America, pro-capitalist. Why are all these tech bros, Musk first and foremost, currying favor with the fascists? Obviously, it's a huge amount of ideological affinity, for one thing. We talked about this already. Silicon Valley was always an anti-democratic eugenicist cesspit waiting for its moment. But there's a more pragmatic political reason right now. The far right is especially good at taking this idea that tech bros love, that regulation is bad and anti-freedom, and tying it together with their more reactionary anti-immigrant project. Using words like sovereignty and self-determination incredibly vaguely and pointing the finger at Brussels but not capitalism, the far right's project gives more power to tech billionaires and fascist politicians while framing this as though it's giving more power to average voters.
I think you want more self-determination for Germany and for the countries in Europe and less from Brussels. That's my opinion. I think there's too much bureaucracy from Brussels, too much control from sort of global elite.
Just as you can't force people what to think, what to feel, or what to believe, and we believe those things are certainly connected. And unfortunately, when I look at Europe today, it's sometimes not so clear what happened to some of the Cold War's winners. I look to Brussels, where EU commissars warn citizens that they intend to shut down social media.
They are nourishing the idea that the epitome of freedom is the powerful doing whatever they want to protect and enrich themselves. While centrists like to dress up this idea in the language of democracy, the far right is nakedly admitting that it wants the freedom to take freedom away from those who don't share their nationality, sexuality, race, or their break things and profit mentality. They can see, like the rest of us, that the circle of rich and powerful people gets smaller and smaller every year. But that's not a problem for them. The far right wins because, on one hand, it promises those people the absolute freedom to keep making their billions as they please and get rid of whatever they don't want in the process. And on the other hand, promising its voters that the group of undesirables who get wasted by the wealthy won't include them. One of those groups is being lied to, and it's clearly not the ones putting billions of dollars into the project. Everything about this is mutually reinforcing. Tech companies want Trump to threaten the more centrist blocs of the EU with sanctions and tariffs to scare them out of regulating tech and letting them take over the AI space. For the Trump administration, doing this means supporting one of the most profitable centers of American capital, which is a good way for the wealthy to get wealthier. This is easy too because, outside of China, there are no real social media or tech competitors to the big five US monopolies. For these far-right European parties, leaning on the material support of these tech companies gives them access to much greater broadcasting power in an age of declining traditional media. And for the CEOs of these tech companies, or their billionaire backers like Thiel and Sachs, getting to spread their spiteful reactionary politics around the world remodels it in their image. They finally get to use their power for their selfish, anti-democratic projects around the world, and say so explicitly. But it won't necessarily work. As we just saw in Germany, the AfD got a predictable second-place spot in the Bundestag. It's not great for the rest of us, but just having Elon there doesn't get you a landslide or automatically hand you the keys to power. But we are in a scary moment. If Europe can reject American imperialism and bring these companies to heel, like we've seen a glimmer of hope with in Brazil, we may be able to slow this down and reverse course. Fascism is not a certainty, and it certainly won't take over Europe just because a deeply embarrassing, Reddit-pilled loser really, really wants it.